Good evening and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree. And back in the studio with me again this evening is Steve Caron for Episode B, Mardi Gras in Portland.
Yeah, good to be back, Esther.
So welcome back, Steve. We had a good time the first session, kind of discussing a little bit of your journey as a musician and your evolution and your from our progression of style. Didn't know you played guitar. Meh.
And then you,
let's talk a little bit because it's kind of cool. I always enjoy seeing on Facebook when y'all post about the crew of Mardi Gras or whatever you call it. But go. Tell us about from here, getting to Portland, and then that whole stuff.
Yeah. So we kind of spontaneously decided that we wanted to move someplace. And my wife, Jane, and I traveled across the country with no particular ending destination in mind, which was pretty fun. You know, just like waking up every morning and saying, do we want to stay here? Do we want to go someplace?
Should I stay or should I go now?
Exactly. That was our, you know, that was the theme of the trip. But we landed in Portland, the rainy Northwest.
Yeah.
But, you know, something that I wasn't aware of is that when it gets to be the summer there, it's really beautiful. Like all the way through, like, say, like Halloween, it's like sunny every day. Like mid-70s, yeah, beautiful mountains, beautiful rivers, the coast is beautiful. So we got there right around the start of this season, and we're like, rainy Northwest, this is a just trying to keep people out of there. So we moved to Portland, you know, and then you hit October, and then it's like rainy and cloudy and cold for like 8 months. You know, you hit June, and it's like 50s, really? Come on.
I know, right? My parents would send us up to Michigan where my grandparents had a house. And, you know, August, you're sweating at night in New Orleans. And up there, you had your windows open. And it was upper 50s, low 60s.
Yeah.
And you jump in the lake and you have to get out 5 minutes later because your lips are blue.
Right.
And not from eating blueberries.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, with regards to the Mardi Gras, you know, it's like I remember our first couple of Mardi Gras over there. It's kind of depressing to be from Louisiana and to be in another state where they just don't really, you know, they don't do Mardi Gras.
I see my friends post on Facebook that grew up here or have been here and they're off now in other parts of the country and the world. And during Mardi Gras season, I miss my Mardi Gras parades. I miss my friends. And,
yeah, know, totally.
I think something unique to the culture here besides the crawfish boils, which sometimes coincide.
Right. So the way that it all kind of panned out was that, you know, over our time, I think people from Louisiana kind of gravitate toward one another. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you kind of can't help but meet people from Louisiana. It's like, you know, there's just some pull, something,
yeah.
You know.
Well, I've noticed in the last 5 years, there's that corridor between Lafayette and Portland seems to be widening.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I seem to know more and more people that are moving out in that direction.
Yeah. So the way it panned out for us is that you had the Deepwater Horizon, the well in the Gulf Coast.
Yes.
That,
mm-hmm.
So a group of us in Portland started putting together a bunch of fundraising concerts to try to do something to help out with that.
Mm-hmm.
They put together a group called Gulf Songs. So we did a bunch of concerts, and it ended with this really cool concert at a nice theater where there was just a number of different styles of Louisiana bands. This was like, I'd say like maybe in the month of November or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the show. It was really cool. And the next couple of days I was like, man, you know, Mardi Gras is going to be here before too long. We should do a show like this and, you know, make it a Mardi Gras ball. And I thought what would really make it authentic would be just not to do it just like a show, but to actually create a Mardi Gras crew where we're making a community of people who are putting this on. You know, it's not like we're just trying to have like this gimmick of, you know,
right,
it's Mardi Gras, come to our ball. But, you know, actually trying to do something to where all the people who like miss Louisiana this time of year actually can get together and like hang out and make decorations and, you know, dress up and stuff like that.
Visit, yeah. Reminisce a bit about the soggy south while they're in the
it's soggy northwest. See, there's that connection. But we started off that year with around – it was a little over 30 people that put together the first Mardi Gras ball in our mm-hmm. crew. And we've just had our seventh ball. We're over 100 members in the crew right now.
Wow.
And we actually started having not only a Mardi Gras ball, but we have a walking parade on Mardi Gras Day.
Mm-hmm.
We had our fifth one this year. And due to time zones, our parade is technically the last Mardi Gras parade in the world. You know, unless Hawaii starts doing a Mardi Gras parade, ours is the last one, which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
don't tell Hawaii.
It's interesting when you think about that and you're going, yeah, because y'all are 2 hours earlier, aren't you, from here? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's mountain and then there's Pacific.
Yeah, and then we have ours in the evening, you know, because it is still just Tuesday up in Portland, Oregon to most people. So.
And it's still probably daylight.
Right. So, you know, so we do our parade. It's like, I don't know, like 7 o'clock is when we do ours. So it would be 9 o'clock over here. There's mm-hmm. nothing going on. Well, people are nursing themselves, going to bed.
There's a few things, but yeah, I don't think any of the parades are rolling past
right.
mid-evening. Did you have to get any special permits to start doing this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to get a permit for the parade. And we have to hire police and all that stuff. But, you know.
And what was the response when you went to them and said, we want a permit for a Mardi Gras parade? Did they go, huh?
Well, you know, we have strived to make our Mardi Gras parade a family-friendly event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like we have families alongside the streets and, you know, we're giving out beads to kids. You know, we're thinking we want a generation of Portlanders to grow up like we did here in Louisiana – enjoying Mardi Gras and looking forward to mm-hmm. Mardi Gras.
And, adding on to it and then bringing their kids. Do you throw moon pies?
Well, we do have our own, you know, we do have our own custom throws, you know, like Zulu have their coconuts. Since we're in the rainy Northwest, our crew decorates little umbrellas.
Well, that's clever.
So we only make 100 umbrellas per year and we usually give them out to kids or, you know, people who are special to us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I'd want to go to a Zulu parade where they throw coconuts. I mean, I think it's a cute idea, but meh. The person throwing the coconuts got to be sore after a bit. And if that coconut beans you in the head, that ain't going to be fun.
That's right. It's time to wear a helmet.
So we were talking earlier about, did you feel like the environment there musically had influenced any of your playing? It was interesting what you said. So do you remember what you said when I asked you that question?
I think so. So, you know, it's like Louisiana has very deep musical roots. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go back for hundreds of years here. But Portland is a relatively, you know, comparatively a recent city, you know, with lots of pioneers and people who are just moving there now. So it's like they, you know, if you think about the Portland music roots, you're thinking like Louie Louie. You know, it, like a garage rock, grunge rock. That's kind of like those are like Northwest roots music.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have a lot of rules over there. And I think that those people really kind of they sometimes look to people to bring in those deeper roots. So I found myself being more inspired by people in Portland to dig deeper into my roots and share my musical history with them than to, you know, look at Portland styles of music and say, hey, I want to let's try out some more indie stuff.
Yeah. Let's jam. Well, you brought in two CDs from things that you've done while you've been there. And the first one you said you wanted to play was Cole Vane, Kill These Blues.
Yeah.
This is a song called Cards.
Yeah. So this is a song. I originally wrote the song for Megatron Jones. But this was one of the first bands this was the first band that I joined in Portland, you know, maybe a year and a half after I moved there. That mm-hmm. was kind of like a, you know, a touring band where I really kind of got a taste of like playing at the festivals up in the Northwest and traveling up and down the West Coast and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, let's listen to Cards. We'll be right back.
toss at Annie's. I got another one on my desk. When one I say I mean it, and the other one says no bear. I lay her on the table. I'm fishing for a jack. Show me, babe, a little heart from your stack. Well, I may seem quite intrusive, but I have no regrets. Well, I'd like to show you diamonds, baby, but all I got is spades. Well, I'm floating like a rocket. Well, I'm knocking at your door. With 24 points below me, baby, I see you coming back for more. I can see you start to weaken. I can see it in your eyes. My instinct starts to tell me, baby, I've got you paralyzed. Well, I may seem quite intrusive, but I have no regrets. Well, I'd like to show you diamonds, baby, but all I got is spades.
Spades.
That's
man,
right.
That was a cool intro. And you said, what was that instrument?
That was a clavinet with some funky wah. Wah-wah.
Yeah.
Gotta love the
that
wah.
That was cool. Got my chair dancing in. Yeah, that feasibly could hear that at a club in New Orleans or Lafayette. And you were singing. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says that you were doing percussion.
I may have been.
But maybe not on the song. Neat. And you wrote it.
Yeah.
Way, way cool. So who's Cole Vain?
Cole Vain's a guy named Dan Berkery. Dan's a close friend. I met him, I don't know, maybe a year and a half after I moved to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
We're still playing in a band called Rose City Kings, which does primarily blues stuff, a lot of original material.
Mm-hmm.
And we do, you know, Portland's an interesting musical community because there's a ton of bands, a ton of musicians. And you know, a lot of us like to work with each other in a variety of projects. So we kind of mix and match personnel, which allows us to, you know, kind of like stay in town, not have to travel a lot, but be in a number of different projects to where our audience can come see us do different things from night to night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was just like this one band that you played with, it'd be hard to really compel people to come to your shows.
Yeah, to keep coming out, right.
But if you're playing with this one group on Wednesday and this other group on Thursday and this separate group on Friday, it's a little bit easier to make a living and stay in town.
So in relation to Lafayette, what size is the town and the community?
Portland's a lot bigger.
Okay.
Portland's a little bigger than New Orleans.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, I've either flown through there or driven through there. I don't think I've ever gone to visit. And I want to say I had a cousin who lived there for a while, but she might have moved back.
You know, it's funny. It's like a matter of perspective, too, because, you know, I grew up in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, I always thought Lafayette was a – I always thought this was a big city. You know, come to find out it's not.
No. It's sprawling and spread out, but the city itself is not very big.
Right. So, you know, I'm living in Portland, to me, that's a big city. But you talk to somebody who moved there from like Chicago
or
New York or something, and it's like a little tiny town. It feels like a town. Portland is
it goes back to perspective.
Yeah.
So that's – all right. So in just kind of here in Lafayette, you sort of localized, well, your kind of playing skills were, you didn't have to have a wide variety of playing styles, but you find up in Portland that you've collected some different ways of playing and writing. Has it affected any of your writing, music writing?
You know, it's interesting. At this point in my life, I don't find myself doing a ton of writing. Mm-hmm. I will write songs if I have to write songs for something. Like we were talking about our Mardi Gras crew. Most of the themes for our balls have been based on songs. But there's been one or two where there hasn't been a song. So then it's like, okay, well, now I have to write a song for this year's ball. So I've done those. But
so are those covers, or that somebody writes a song and says, this is a good song?
For example, this past year, our theme was Fire on the Bayou. So
you used the song.
We used the song. We are
for on the bayou.
You know, we have a number of bands throughout the night, and then mm-hmm. for the past couple of years, we've been doing these big. I call it a review set. Mm-hmm. You have a number of different singers playing in front of a kind of a large house band.
Right.
So, you know, we had two keyboard players, drums, percussion, horn section, background singers, the whole two guitars, the whole nine yards.
That must have been interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, we've been fortunate. This year we had one of the bass players from Dumpstafunk actually came in town and sat in for our final set, and he was the one that sang Fire on the Bayou. a couple of years ago, we have this a saxophone player named Reggie Houston, who uh-huh. used to play for Fats Domino. He's from New Orleans, but he's lived in Portland for a few years. And a few years ago, he brought in Charmaine Neville to be our featured act at the at the ball.
Uh-huh.
But with regards to songwriting, to bring it back to that, you know, it's like I find myself, because I play in a bunch of different projects, I'm having to constantly be learning material.
Mm-hmm.
So
keeps you sharp.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about can you interpret that?
yeah. Tell us a little bit about Berthelene and the Love Brigade. That's right.
So happens, your mouth goes on strike. You just hold up the CD.
I've got a babble fish over here, if you remember that. Remember the babble fish?
Yes. Yeah?
I believe the answer is 42, right?
I think it's all the bees that were in – I'm looking at the picture. And you said the picture is your grandmother.
My grandmother.
That's so cool.
This is a band called –
Berthelene and the Love Brigade. I got it out.
That's right. So we had a dear friend that we made up in Portland, this woman named Heidi Hsu. She's a poet and a percussionist.
It's a nice combination.
But she was playing with this fella who was a guitar player and singer. And Jane and I decided to join this band. But anyway, she would call Jane and I the Cajun Love Brigade.
Aww.
I guess because we would come in with nice vibes and stuff like that. But our friend Heidi, along with her percussion rig, she had my grandmother's washboard. My grandmother's name was Berthelene Young.
Uh-huh.
So Heidi took to calling the washboard Berthelene. So originally it was Berthelene and the Cajun Love Brigade,
uh-huh.
which was me and Jane.
Right.
And that shortened to Berthelene and the Love Brigade.
So we're going to listen to
Marie Laveau. So this is the cover song. This is actually Bobby Bear is the guy that wrote this. It's kind of miscredited on there. But
all right. Let's have a listen to Marie Laveau.
Where the black trees grow, there lives a voodoo lady named Marie Laveau. She got a black cat tooth, a mojo bone. Anyone who wouldn't leave her alone, she'd go. Another man done gone. She lives in a swamp in a hollow log with a one-eyed snake and a two-legged dog. Got a bent, bony body with stringy hair. She ever see you messing around as you go? Another man done gone. Charm, you know, to make me
be rich.
Give me $1 million and tell you what I'll do. On this very night I'm gonna marry you. Then it'll be no man done gone.
And she shook the little Sam, made $1 million and put it in his hand. And she wiggled, she giggled, she said, hey.
I'm getting ready for my wedding day.
Oh, handsome Jackie said goodbye, Marie. Said you're too damn ugly for a rich man like me. Then Marie started crying, her face started shaking, her body started turning, and she started quaking. And she said, another man done gone. Where the black trees grow, and meet a voodoo lady named Marie DeVoe. If she ever asks you to make her your wife, then you better stay with her for the rest of your life, or it'll be another man done gone. Or it'll be another man done gone.
Man, I love them big endings.
Yeah, that's right.
Another song that definitely you feel like you're in New Orleans. So that's interesting that, you know, the people there, a lot of times you go to and you move to a city and you begin to adapt their playing style the same way that people start to affect the accent where they talk there.
Mm-hmm.
But you're telling us that they've kind of said, well, share us more of what you're doing. Share us more of what you're doing. And
yeah.
So you're making a musical gumbo.
I would say if there's one thing that would be like the strongest influence that like the Northwest has had on my playing,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're like the jam band stuff and the Grateful Dead and getting out there and exploring the musical space.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one thing, one way that I think the Northwest is kind of affected me, you know, is to like, you know, kind of take your time and not think of a solo as just being like two times around the form, you know,
yeah.
Where you can really think a song doesn't have to be a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and you can be spontaneous and let the song grow and evolve and do its thing and maybe have a different beat than what you're used to doing,
mm-hmm.
maybe have it go into a different song, you know, kind of learning to communicate with the band of musicians through like a wink and a nod.
Band leader style.
Yeah.
I just pick up my foot. I tell anybody that plays with me, just watch my foot.
Yeah, right. Get like the bewitched, like the nose crinkle sort of thing.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, I forgot about Bewitched. Well, cool. Well, we're glad that you ventured back to Lafayette and at a time when I said, hey, come do the show. And I've been
I was able to do it like twice in a like couple of weeks, huh?
Yeah. Cool. I know. You must have found the TARDIS. I know my cousin posted something. He says, I would love to play with you. I said, well, unless you found a wormhole of the TARDIS, it's going to be kind of hard. You're over there on the East Coast somewhere. But yeah, so those jokes. So we're going to go out with we're going to go back to Louisiana and go out with the song Blue Bay Way because you said I'm playing on it.
Esther's on this one. Yeah.
Mela. Well, you've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRVS.org. And if you're in Portland, look up Steve Caron. And so the song is what?
Blueberry Way.
And this is your off your album, Joy. So thank you, and thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Esther.
make sure I have the right the right CD. Okay, bottom one. Thank you and good night.
Be sure to tune in to Encore, Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for great Cajun music with me, your host, Megan Constantin.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.